Welcome to Business Insights. I would like to thank you for tuning in. There's a lot of content out there, so you spending this hour with us means a great deal. This show is my opportunity to share the entrepreneurial success stories of our local business owners, and I encourage you to join me each week as we profile a new member of our business community. My guest today is Stacy Vermeer of RE/MAX Lakeshore Realty. Stacy has built a thriving real estate business over the last decade, designed and developed around curating client relationships for life. This outgoing team leader integrates her construction and architectural knowledge within her business, providing an excellent backdrop to our award-winning real estate sales team. Northumberland County has always been home to Stacy, a community she shares with her clients, neighbors, friends, and family. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So let me ask you just quickly, over the past couple of years, real estate agents have kind of become a little bit like rock stars. What is your comment on that?
Well, I think this business is built largely around creating an image and a platform in which you want people to perceive you. And I think that social media has certainly changed the way that we look at others from a business perspective. And in theory, all we really have to promote is ourselves. So it creates this sort of celebrity appearance. But ultimately, at the end of the day, it's really the services that we provide that is the most important thing to our clients. So it's somewhat difficult to step outside of that sort of face to the name and get personal with people. But that's our goal anyways, ultimately.
I really like that. Joining us in the studio today is your youngest child.
Yes, Dryden.
3 months old?
He is 3 months old, yeah, on the third. Yeah.
Okay. We may hear the baby at some point during this show.
Possibly,
I hope so.
It'd
be
yeah.
A great addition. Just changing directions here. You grew up locally.
Yes.
You went to high school here, and then from high school, you went to Loyalist College.
I did, yeah. So my family grew up in Garden Hill, so just north of Port Hope. My parents, Mark and Nancy, still live out there. Nancy works with me as well. But
is it interesting calling your mother by her first name?
Yeah, actually, okay. She's asked me to stop calling her mom at the office.
Oh, okay.
So it's Nancy now, and then when we're at home and I call her Nancy, it's utterly confusing to say the least.
Good, okay.
Yeah, so my parents are still out in Garden Hill. My husband and I live in Camborne.
Right.
Little community just north of Coburg, and we really love it there. So I grew up in Garden Hill. I went to school in Coburg High School, St. Mary's High School, and yeah, I graduated on to attend Loyalist College. The program there that I took was architectural technology. Right. So that was a 2-year integrated program. The first year was a certificate in residential design, and the second year was technologist, which is basically the ability to understand the Ontario Building Code properly. You could achieve your BCIN number, which would give you the ability to stamp drawings, things like that. So it was really like...
That's interesting. So you're at high school... You graduate high school, you decide
yes.
At this moment that that's a direction you want to head in, or did it take you a few years to figure out what you kind of wanted to do or what direction you wanted to travel in?
Yeah, that's a good question. So those who know me best know that I had my first child right out of high school. So I was a mom really early on. And for me, I think that was a driving force in making sure that I did better and did more with myself in life. So I didn't go to college right away. It was probably a couple years. And my daughter and I struggled a lot with finding affordable housing when we were on our own.
Right.
So I started to understand the value in having a roof over your head and what that meant to people and that it was a really big deal. So my fascination sort of stemmed from there a little bit. And I always knew that having a post-secondary education was a utmost importance, and that was had to happen no matter what. So I thought, what a good combination, because I had become fixated on housing and trying to do that with my daughter, that we would go in that direction. And I was always fascinated with real estate in general. To me, it seemed like something, as you mentioned, that only somebody with a sense of celebrity would do. It was you were a big deal. If you
sure.
were in the newspaper, then you were somebody. So
okay.
I think that was a little bit of an attractive feature.
So you go off, do you live locally here, or did you move down to Trenton when you attended school there?
No, so I stayed here, and my daughter Madison attended daycare at the YMCA, so we had a lot of early mornings and a lot of late nights, and I was there for 2 years, traveled back and forth, and got a job actually at the college, so I was really lucky. As as I had the ability to work in the AutoCAD room as the AutoCAD tech at the time. So for a single mother being in school, that was really beneficial for me to have some supplementary income at the time too. And
certainly. So you're now enrolled into this course. You're starting to learn. At that point, did you think your path was going to be just in real estate in general, or did as a real estate agent, was that top of mind during that time?
Right. Yeah. I knew I wanted to be a realtor, but I knew that without that education behind me at 22 years old, nobody was going to take me seriously. So I needed to know what I was talking about. And I think from a housing perspective, you need to know the ins and outs. You need to know what a building envelope is, and you need to know what bricks and mortar are. You need to be able to understand wiring, what's to code, what's to not, you know, basements, anything. Those sort of components are valuable for sure.
Very true. So you finish up there. Now, did you get aligned with the real estate company right after, or did you write exams, or did you, how did that process work?
Yeah. So within the 2-year program, after the end of the first year, I took my first phase in real estate. And at the time, real estate was a 3-phase course. And then you were able to get your license and you had to complete 3 additional courses following. So I had 3 courses to complete. The summer of the first year, I completed the first phase, went back to school in the fall, did that year, graduated second year, completed phase 2 and 3, and got my license right away. So I always knew that that was exactly what I was after. But yeah, that's exactly how it sort of panned out.
So then you're now licensed to sell real estate. Who did you align yourself with during that time?
Yeah, so once I got my license, I was obviously terrified because at the time I was probably one of the younger realtors at 23 years old entering the market and still sort of feeling like it was a sense of overwhelm of not knowing what it was going to be like. So I picked a platform at that time at Royal LePage, and there was a lady there by the name of Ina Milner, and she had been a real estate agent for a really long time, or I should say realtor, actually. She had been a realtor for a really long time, and she had a real sort of positive presence about her, and lucky for me, she took me under her wing, and I did open houses back to back for probably months at a time over at Ryerson Commons. Mm-hmm. So just off University Avenue there, she had a development. And she just sort of showed me the ropes. And she showed me the human side of the business, because in the courses, they don't teach you about how to build relationships with people and what people's expectations are of you personally and that sort of thing. So that made a tremendous impact on my career.
Absolutely.
Early on. Yeah.
That's fantastic. So you now had a little bit of experience. Mm-hmm. What does it look like in your day-to-day life? So it's interesting to know what a real realtor does every day, but you're obviously wanting to make connections with people, but you have these open houses. So you're learning by people coming in who are kicking the tires, or they're there to make a purchase. What would your day-to-day look like then at that time?
At that time, my day-to-day was a little bit scary. There were times that it was quiet and there were times that it was more busy. My evenings and weekends were making calls out to my mom and dad. Can you come watch Madison? There's somebody that wants to see a house. The way I operated my business was, I think, from a little bit more of a scarcity standpoint. So I wanted to be available immediately.
Right.
And so that had an impact on me overall, just with someone calls and they want to see a property and they want to see it now. So that sense of urgency had a big impact on me early on. But I just, you know, I hit the ground running as hard as I could. And I think probably one of the things I would change about how I started in business is I would probably try my best to be myself as opposed to trying to be all things to all people.
That's right.
Right? So you try to wear many hats so that you can blend personally with as many people as possible. But the reality is, for me, just being myself was probably something I would have done a lot sooner and just carried through with that.
Sure. So you're at Royal LePage at this moment. Mm-hmm. You've made yourself quite available because you know that you don't want to turn away any potential
right.
clients that you can do business with. What does the business arrangement look like at this point? So you're with Royal LePage, you're new coming in.
Yes.
Does that look the same for every agent, or newer agents have a bit of a different agreement, or how does that all work?
Yeah, no, unfortunately, real estate is probably probably a career that should be more apprenticeship based, because a lot of people are extremely good academically. So the courses, they don't find to be a challenge, but the true nuts and bolts of the business and what the business is all about is nothing that they teach you in school. So lucky for me, I had somebody that was willing to give me their time. And in return, I did some work, obviously, as well. Mm-hmm. But without that mentorship along the way, which is not provided to everybody, it certainly would have been a totally different outcome for me, I think, personally. Sure. Yeah.
So you're at Royal LePage. Just tell us what happens next here. You're there, you start growing your business slowly. What year are we now?
So I started at Royal LePage in 2007.
Okay.
And I was there for about a year and a half. Basically, at that point, what I was trying to do was just build as many good working relationships with people that I knew, past, present, just making it known that I was here to help in any way that I could. And the biggest hurdles, obviously, were at the time I was so young, so there was no mistaking the fact that I was new. It was very obvious.
Yes.
So we just, I shouldn't say we, but I just sort of tried my best to make sure that I was as present as possible, attending as many events that were available to me, doing a lot of open houses. That's where I met most of my clients in early on.
So you, 2007, mm-hmm. this kind of predates a lot of what businesses use for social media and everything.
Correct.
What are you doing then that maybe you're not doing anymore or not doing now?
Print media. Print media was huge for us. So whether it would have been at the time magazines, the newspaper, mail outs, it was all tangible things, things you could hold in your hand. And so that was sort of what we were, as newcomers, encouraged to do. And that's a big part of how properties were marketed as well in that sort of, I would call it, era. But it's certainly changed a lot in the last 3 to 5 years. And we've shifted now with the loss of the newspaper here locally with respect to the real estate section. We've had to modify how we get our listings and our marketing material out to the general public in a manner that reaches the broadest audience and has the ability to give us the most impact on the back end, telling us who viewed it, how many views, what is the overall reaction, which has been
really
nice.
Right, that's a big game changer.
It's a huge game changer, and our clients absolutely love it because they can see, you know, I listed my house last week and we've had 1,000 visits to the website, something along those lines. It's really nice.
Just bring us a little bit more up to speed. Mm-hmm. You were there for a year and a half. Where did you go from there?
RE/MAX was always on my radar. I they're the McDonald's of real estate. That's the way we put it. And they have access to, I would argue, the best and most productive tools for realtors. The way in which realtors are paid varies based on where they work. So there's different structures. And for me, RE/MAX wasn't an option in the beginning. But once the ball got rolling and the client relationships were built up and, you know, we were busy enough or I was busy enough to move forward with RE/MAX, I certainly took the jump as soon as I could. And it's been a huge benefit to me in my career.
So was that in 2009?
2009, yes.
Yeah. So in 2009, and you're still with Lakeshore RE/MAX Realty. So this is going to bring us into our next segment. So
sure.
This is a natural breaking point. I've been speaking with Stacey Vermeer. This is Business Insights with John Racine on 89.7. Welcome back to Business Insights with John Racine on 89.7. I'm speaking with Stacey Vermeer. Stacey, you've now moved over to RE/MAX.
Yes.
Quickly, I'm just going to dial back just a few seconds because I think this topic's very interesting. So you started in 2007. That would have been a very glorious year to have really started any career.
Yes.
And then, wha-bam, we have this massive recession. I think most industries took a bit of a hit during that period.
Right.
And I'm sure in different components in the real estate market certainly took a hit, but it certainly brought out other buyers and sellers. Every market requires a buyer and seller, and for different reasons. Tell us a little bit about what it was like to really start your career into that world.
It was interesting in the real estate world, and there's different reasons that people sell or different reasons that people buy. Some are positive and some can be negative. So what we saw in that market were sales a little bit more out of necessity. We also saw people that sort of had the ability to sit tight and hold on to what they had. So maybe less likely to sell as they weathered out the storm. And as we know with a recession, generally speaking, in our climate, they don't last very long, right? So most people understood that they were looking at a period of time in which things might not be so great, but there was always light at the end of the tunnel. And if you look at real estate from 0 to 100, right, no matter what, there's always an increase in value long term. So we had those conversations with people. I think some of the mistakes people made was thinking that that would be the time to sell, to get out, because it was going to be worse. So those conversations about why don't you stay?
Yeah, I guess people didn't quite understand the correlation with interest rates and availability of capital during this time. So
exactly.
At the same time, interest rates are untraditionally low. We have people wanting to get into the market.
Yes.
So you're coming now, moving over to RE/MAX, mm-hmm. your 2009. What does it start looking like as far as your personal business growth at that time?
So my personal business growth was starting to feel a little bit more of a referral-based business. So what I was starting to see was, you know, I sold John and Sue's house and John and Sue were now recommending that Carrie call me and that I come over. So we were starting to, the phone would be ringing as opposed to me picking up the phone. So we started to see that shift. And at that time, it was a real positive impact on my business. And we just kept going in the same traditional way as far as, you know, marketing was concerned and all of those things. And I'm sorry I keep saying we, but I'm just in that headspace now, fast forward 10 years. It's we.
Certainly, so. You've grown a team. And so yes. That becomes a part of who you are.
Yeah.
You're now growing. People are picking up the phone. You're right. Now getting referrals from the people that you had done business
That's
with.
That's right.
This is now turning into a better funnel for you in order to grow business.
Right.
And then comes along social media, which mm-hmm. I follow you on Instagram.
Yes.
I can see you're a very active participant. This was a tremendous game changer for yourself.
Yes.
And for real estate in general.
Oh, for sure. Absolutely. Because I think real estate for most people is a pastime. I remember the days before I was a real estate agent and I would be on MLS.ca, which is now Realtor.ca, every day looking at houses. It's a fascination and it's a pastime that people really enjoy. So we try to give them a little bit more of that. And in every avenue, as far as media is concerned, it's always been there. So social media was another additive to that business as well. It comes with its challenges from a maintenance perspective. It's certainly something that I don't do alone. I have help in that regard.
Okay, so yeah. Let's just walk through that process maybe. You have a phone call from a potential client.
Yes.
You go visit them in person or you talk to them over the phone. What are the next few steps? Let's just focus on social media from
sure.
this point. You agree on the listing and then what? You've had somebody who comes in to take photos, you yep. do it yourself, or how does that work?
I'm sort of the mindset, if I can't do it perfectly, then I don't do it at all.
Right.
So we have access to professional photographers. I've been using a gentleman here for probably about 7 years and he does professional photos. He also measures all the rooms. So we have floor plans for every listing.
Right.
I have a stager that I use who comes in and prepares the listing to get it as best as it will look. And for some people, it's just adding a few items to help it look a little bit more like it's ready for social media, of
right,
course.
Right, right.
So that's a big component. And then we work on the verbiage. And from there, I have a great deal of assistance with respect to social media and getting the listings out there on the platforms in a proper way, written properly with the right information and in a way that sort of integrates all of those crazy algorithms that social
right.
media has.
We're so starved for information, right?
Yes.
So you get this listing, you want that up as fast as humanly possible, right?
Yeah, yesterday.
Yeah, exactly.
Yesterday.
So what do? You have, it hits your website, it hits mm-hmm. social media. What are you doing? Any other traditional marketing anymore? Or is this kind of taking over a lot of your marketing?
Well, I hate to say that I'm not participating in some of the more traditional marketing outlets. And the reason being is everybody starts their search online, right? So we know we're over, I would say 95% of home buyers are starting their search online.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to advertise where the people are looking to buy.
Right.
And so what we found with the newspaper, as an example, was it had very little impact on us with respect to feedback on who was looking at it. We were very, very low in returned calls on listings.
Right.
So whenever we have something on social media, the interaction is greater and it's huge. And
right.
so we know that that's the best platform for our listings. We still do mail outs and things like that, but it's mm-hmm. certainly a little bit more in lines with the self-promotion
sure.
in that.
So you have on your website, I was looking at it the mm-hmm. other day, you have on your website a section where it says like new buyers, and then they put in all their criteria.
Yes.
That's an interesting, now, did you do that before? Like, how would you ever have gathered that kind of information before? That also must be an interesting game changer.
So we have ways in which to capture information. And the best way, in all honesty, is really not the website at all. So our mm-hmm. best lead generating tools are having listings. That's a
yes.
big thing.
Yes.
So in order to get the calls and in order to have those relationships, you need to have the listings to do that. And that's why they say in real estate, you know, list to last.
Right.
And it goes without saying, it's definitely the best way to generate further relationships. We don't do a lot of, say, Google AdWords or anything along those lines with respect to trying to filter in new business at this point. But I mean, there are definitely some tools out there that are helpful in that regard. I would say right now, we're probably getting on average anywhere from 3 to 5 inquiries through social media per day. So that's a much better business platform for getting content from people or a potentially a new client.
Certainly. Walk me through a couple of scenarios here.
Sure.
Somebody's looking to sell their house.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And they're going, oh, should we do it in the summer? Should we do it in after the school year starts? People are conflicted with so many ideas. Oh, should we upgrade the kitchen first? Should we redo the bathrooms? Tell me what's going through people's head and how do you walk them off the ledge in these moments?
Fair enough. So that's a common question is when's the best time to sell? And my common answer would be right now. Of course. Of course. But the reality is there's always buyers and sellers in the market. It's just a matter of how many at any given time. So we have to see where the demand is. Is it a seller's market? Or is it a buyer's market? And people typically lean towards the spring market because their thoughts are, my house looks the best.
Right.
The flowers are up. It's beautiful outside. People are optimistic about moving now because they can move in the summertime, which most families want to in the summertime move if they have children, right?
Sure.
So what we find is that's a very traditional market and it happens every year, the spring market. But what also happens in the spring market is an influx of inventory.
Right.
Right. So is it the best time to sell your house when everybody else is selling their house? I don't know.
Right.
Is it a good time to sell your house in the fall, move before Christmas? And that's another big one as well, is seasonally. Now we're entering into that list in the fall and move before Christmas.
Right.
What I would argue for a buyer in the real estate market is people who have their houses for sale in the dead of winter want to sell their house.
You're putting it out there that we want out. We're not really looking to time this thing.
Exactly. So there's good times for everybody, but it also depends on what you want and what you're looking for. So if you're not in a panic, I think as a buyer in this market right now, it's a really good idea to just sit tight, watch what happens. And if something comes up, certainly take a look, but don't put the pressure on yourself in any market, whether it's spring, summer, fall, to make that jump until you're completely ready. And from a seller's perspective, it all depends. A lot of it now is either work-based, right? People are moving because they have a transfer for job, family-based, so things are going on within the family dynamic, and so that's a big driving force in why people sell. But there is no bad time, and I wouldn't argue that there's a perfect time.
There, sure.
There's not one specific month, I would
there's
say,
positive
that's
and
the
negatives
best.
In every scenario.
Exactly,
yeah.
Exactly.
So as far as the idea behind, should we upgrade the kitchen before we sell?
Right.
Should we do certain upgrades, or is there something that is glaringly obvious that people should do before they sell? Or everything's going to be case-by-case situation, but what have you seen that has proven to be a valuable thing to do?
It's interesting. In this market, and I think geographically and demographically, where we're located, really close to the GTA, we're going to have demand for real estate for a long time, and that's not going to change. But what we've seen, or I've seen in the last decade from when I first started, was that grandma's house that's dated and looks almost out of a time capsule.
It's been preserved.
Right? Is not necessarily worth a whole lot less than a house that's completely updated, which might come as a surprise, but the demand is there. So what we don't want to see people do is we don't want to see them take a house from 1965 and just put a new kitchen in it, because it doesn't take away from the fact that the rest of the house still needs some updating. Yes. So we lose that. But from a buyer's perspective, overall, number one, cleanliness.
Right.
Number one. And an appraiser would argue the same thing. That's part of their criteria when they evaluate a home is the overall cleanliness. It's
Has
a
it
big
been
thing.
Maintained? Yeah.
Yeah. So maintenance is something that scares buyers away. So you can have a home that's in need of improvements, but if it's been well maintained and it's in good repair, I think that you won't have many people that are deterred from making those improvements.
Okay. So now you mentioned maybe it's grandma's house, maybe mm-hmm. it'd be a bungalow.
Right.
What are we seeing on demand as far as things like accessibility and different things like that from the type of house, whether it be a bungalow, right. two-story? What do you see in that world?
It's interesting, and I have this conversation with my young families a lot. So what we've seen in our area in the last 5 years or so is that all new developments are geared towards the baby boomer generation, people who are retiring that want to move into town or coming out of the city. So we have a lot of two-bedroom bungalows, a lot of townhouses, and a lot of smaller properties that are arguably worth more per square foot because of the demand. But where we're seeing a little bit of a lag in the market is that we don't have any newer or an abundance of traditional family homes.
Right.
So it's the families, I think, that are struggling the most right now to be able to find something to purchase that suits their needs. And not only that, but we have a lot more blended families. So the number of children in a household that need to be taken accounted for, that changes things as well. So number of bedrooms, bathrooms.
Perfect. So we're speaking with Stacey Vermeer. We're just going to take a quick break and come back and dive into some of the insights we want to take out of Stacey as far as what are the opportunities in real estate? What are mm-hmm. the kind of things that people should be thinking about? And we're going to continue that conversation in a moment. Welcome back to Business Insights with John Racine on 89.7. Stacey Vermeer has joined me in studio here. This is our final segment. This is where I kind of want to just ask you a lot more questions about what would you give in advice? Okay. You know, what things about your family, what you're
sure.
So it's just kind of wrapping it up with that. But I want to just quickly talk about you've been in this business for 10 plus years now.
Correct. Yeah.
You've grown tremendously over that time. What would you classify as some of the real big moments that really catapult you to the next level?
Yeah, you know, sometimes it's the little moments too that are valuable in shifting our perception about who we are as people and what's important to us. And, you know, I think for me in creating this team within the last few years, it got to a point where I was starting to feel like my quality of care for clients was shifting. So on a whole, I was doing anywhere between 50 and 65 deals, we call them, but selling between 50 and 65 houses a year on my own and loving every minute of it because taking care of the clients is such a rewarding experience, more rewarding than anything is the happy faces of other people when you've done something to help them with their, in many cases, biggest asset, which is a huge, huge task. You know, I do take that very seriously. It was about year 7 in real estate, and I started to notice that the business was growing at what I would consider a rapid pace. And so that's generally speaking a turnaround time for any small business, right? So when you're working on trying to create something that's repeat and referral based, you need to give it at least 5 years. You can't have any expectations prior to that about what your business is going to look like, but you certainly need to hit the ground running for those 5 years and just keep pushing. So I think I had pushed so hard that inevitably in about year 7 when I was averaging, I was selling probably anywhere from 50 to 65 houses a year on my own, that this got to a point where I couldn't do it on my own without sacrificing the relationships with clients because it was busy at that time. And trust in any small business is a huge issue, right? Finding the right person to fit that mold of what you're looking for that will do everything you say with a smile on their face. So I picked my mom.
Perfect. Well, tell us a little bit about how that interaction happened. So I'm sitting around the dinner table. Hey, Mom, I just got a question for you. How did that actually happen?
My mother's background is in a little bit more of a heavier industry. So she was an accounts manager for Stanley Black & Decker for a long time. So she managed a lot of accounts with Walmart. She was in the tool business and things of that nature. Anybody who's done their color tests, and I don't know if you've done your color tests, John, or not, but I'm a raging orange. So for what that's worth, if nobody knows what the color test is, call me. We'll do it together. It's very interesting. So I am basically an internal optimist, fly by the seat of my pants. Everything is wonderful. There's butterflies in the sky, that sort of thing. My mother is a true gold. So she is organized, right? She's very accurate and precise about everything that she does. And that blend in the real estate world works really, really well because we balance each other out. And she had been helping me with my accounting and bookkeeping and keeping me organized, obviously, prior to that. So it was a natural fit and a little bit of persuasion. And she took her real estate license and passed with flying colors, of course. Worried the entire time that she wasn't going to pass and, you know, 95s across the board. But yeah, so that's sort of naturally how it morphed into this team. And I certainly couldn't trust anybody more than my mother. Now, I'm not allowed to call her mother anymore. I have to call her by her first name, which is Nancy. So that's been a shift. And we try to separate business and personal at the right times. And so it doesn't have an impact either one of those relationships.
You would communicate daily. Would it be via phone? Would you see each other in person? How are you organizing this? Are you doing a kind of divide and conquer?
Correct.
How does that look?
Starting a team is new for me too. So what we tried to do and what I tried to do as well is look at RE/MAX and the platforms that they suggest and how people operate successfully in a team atmosphere so that it benefits their clients the most, right? It's not about what's easiest for me or what's easiest for her. It's about how do we get the job done in a way that the client has a good working relationship with either one of us or both of us, depending on who they're working with. So at this moment, our team is split primarily, and somewhat to do with the fact that I have three children at home and a new baby as well, is that I primarily list and Nancy primarily works with buyers when you're searching for your property. So she has a really, really nice position to be in with respect to buyers because it's an exciting experience for sure. Where sometimes selling your house is a little bit more of a heavy cloud. It's hanging over some people's heads. So I don't mind taking on that challenge with getting that end of things done. And then they can happily look for a new home. And it's been a good blend. And it may change. We don't know. So we're sort of learning as we go as well. And we're also looking to our clients for feedback on what their experience is like working with us in this way and any ways that they feel might be helpful for us to improve how we operate, which we always look for feedback. It's important.
That's fantastic. Mm-hmm. So speaking of family, just moving on to your family. Mm-hmm. So you have three children.
I do.
You have a very busy life.
Yes.
Tell us about how running a business, being quite busy, and what that looks like and what kind of challenges and opportunities present themselves as a result of that.
And my husband, Darren, he's a licensed steam fitter, and he works at Hydro here, just west of us. Our oldest daughter, Madison, is going to be 16 this year, so we're on the cusp of G1 license driver, which is terrifying, to say the least. She's a very responsible grade 11 student at CCI, and so we're very proud of that. Taylor, our middle child, is just all spunk and energy. She's at Camborne School, grade 2, and Dryden, the new one, he's just 3 months. So they're certainly spread out, but I think that has been positive for me from a business perspective. I look at the people who have children close together and it's so beautiful. But being self-employed, as you know too, it's something that didn't give us the opportunity to do that.
Sure.
But my children are, I would say, with respect to my business, fairly well trained. So, you know, if the phone rings while we're driving in the car, then they know.
They're just like, Stacey Vermeer Realty, yes. How can I help you?
Yes. And then too, you know, every once in a while, my relationships with my clients can be fairly thick. So they'll say things sometimes on the phone and the kids are in the background sort of snickering away. Like, I probably shouldn't have heard that. But yeah, it's a family dynamic. And they understand that my business is curating relationships with people. And so I think it's been entertaining for them to watch that unfold. The challenges that it brings, however, is I miss things.
Okay.
I miss dance recitals. I miss volleyball tournaments. And there's a bit of sacrifice there, ultimately. But like any busy household where mom's going one way, dad's going the other, or vice versa, there are things that you're going to miss. So my kids have adapted to that a little bit. And we're working on trying to plan and organize better so we can be, or I can be a little more present with those things as well.
Very good. I've asked everybody this kind of question. Mm-hmm. Is there's a kid in high school right now.
Right.
And they may be, it'd be interesting to know that kids in high school are interested in real estate, but let's say that they latched on to the idea that this may be a great career for them. What would you give as advice to to somebody who's now gaining interest in this, what things should that person be doing that's going to help out in the future for them?
I think as a from a student's perspective, because real estate's really good for a lot of generations. So if I could hit on a couple of them, I think that would be good. But for a young student, what I would say is keep your chin up and speak to people kindly. Make an impression on people, even if you're 16 years old. Start to make an impression on people, your friends, parents. Be kind to people. Become a face people recognize. And from there, no matter what, even though real estate is a program that can be easy to take, you need to get a post-secondary education first. It's key. There's so much learning in that experience in life that I think if you miss it, has a great impact on who you are as a person. So go to college, go to university, do that first, and then take your real estate courses.
Okay,
after.
So you let's say they move over, they're now in secondary post-secondary education,
yes.
Whether that be a university degree or a college diploma or whatever it be. Are there certain things or courses that you would seriously recommend that somebody do in order to be well prepared or adjusted for that move?
No.
No. Okay. So no. Just have a well-rounded education.
That's right. It doesn't matter what it is. There's so much to be learned that it all has an impact. And so whether you take police foundations and then you become a real estate agent, it makes no difference. But what you really need to try to do is build good relationships and learn how to build a relationship with somebody. And you have to be a trusting person and you have to be outgoing and you have to be optimistic, right? So I saw a quote once early on and said, whether you think you can or you think you can't, you're right.
Yes.
So for me, I always kept that in the back of my mind. If I tell myself I can't do something, then I'm not going to do it. Mm-hmm. If I tell myself I can, then I have no other option, right? So I try to keep that within reason. I'm not going to make up crazy things I need to do. But from a business perspective, you got to push through, but you have to get an education.
So now let's speak to maybe a young realtor, somebody who has just moved into this space. What would you recommend are the type of things that, whether it be habits or processes, what are you thinking of things that they need to tick off to make sure that they have a better chance at success?
So I think social media is a huge one, and I haven't completely wrapped my mind around it yet, to be honest with you. But I would say to any young realtor, any young person looking at, whether it's me or anybody else on Instagram, there is a filter for everything. So don't get the impression that it's all nice cars and beautiful living rooms and drinking wine down at the beach. That's not what it is. What it is really hard work, grinding out the hours and staying off of your phone. So get off of your phone, go outside, go to groups, meet up with people, talk to your friends. Those are the things that really matter. So it's the human connection that's key. And you can sit in front of your phone all day long and you won't get anywhere.
Sure.
It's not going to come to you. You have to go looking for it.
Great, great advice. Just wrapping up, you've now been in the business 10 plus years. I know we touched on this a little bit before,
yes.
But is there something, if you could go back 2007, fresh face, brand new into the industry, you're not really sure what to expect, what would you maybe say to yourself as some advice on to maybe not be education, maybe it not be specifically about real estate, but what would the kind of things that you would tell yourself to maybe be prepared for or maybe not, don't sweat these kinds of things. What would that be?
Yeah, it's interesting. I think because I've learned so much in the last 10 years and I've obviously changed from 23, I'm 34 now. What would I tell my young self? I may have to think about that for a second. But from a business perspective, I think you can't be all things to all people. Right? So be yourself. Don't get lost in trying to be somebody that you're not or changing the way you approach somebody based on how you perceive them as wanting you to be, right? Just be yourself. And sometimes it will work. More often it will, obviously. And sometimes it won't. And that's okay. You can't have a perfect relationship with every client all the time, but you can't be all things to all people. So find out who you are. And that's a lot of the reason why I say stay in school, because that's a big part of learning about who you are as a human being. So I think if you can establish that first, that certainly would have helped me, you know, in the first few years of just be yourself. People will like you.
That's fantastic advice. We've been speaking with Stacey Vermeer of RE/MAX Lakeshore Realty. I really appreciate you coming on the show. Please Like and follow Stacy on Instagram, Facebook, check out her website. My name's John Racine. Like me on Facebook, johnmeansbusiness.com. Thanks for listening. Take care.